This tape is produced and distributed by the Christian Biblical Church of God, Post Office Box 1442, Hollister, California, 95024-1442, for the Canadian office and offices overseas. Listen at the end of the tape, please. This is Circumcision Wars, number 10. And because Galatians is such a complicated book, as we have done each time, let's go back and do just a little review. Let's do a little review here. We came quite a ways into chapter 5, but let's just understand some very important things here, okay? Okay, verse 1. Therefore, stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. Now, I'm just going to put in my notes here, from religion. And the reason being is that most of the things that are done in relationship to people thinking about God is done in religion. Okay? You're free from religion with all the religious requirements. You can just look at Catholicism with all of theirs, Judaism with all of theirs, Islam with all of theirs, Hinduism with all of theirs, Buddhism with all of theirs, you see. We are free from that. And do not be held again in a yoke of bondage, because religion is a yoke of bondage. God's true way through Christ is not a yoke of bondage, neither is it a religion. It is a way to live. That you may have a relationship between you, Jesus Christ, and God the Father on a one-to-one basis. And that frees you from all of that. It also frees you from all of the Protestant things, too. So we can just put it in there. All religions, see. Verse 2. Behold, I, Paul, am telling you that if you be circumcised, that is, for justification or for salvation, Christ will profit you nothing, because only the resurrection of Christ can give you life. The removal of a little bit of flesh cannot give you life. Let's see. Now, if you be circumcised, you can say any physical thing. Now, let's just review again. How are you justified before God the Father? And that's to whom you want to be justified. You do not want to be justified to a man or to a church or to an organization. You don't want to do things to please men because they tell you so. Now, that's not a matter of being rebellious, but that's how religions operate. See? And so that becomes a political thing. Now, the more I understand about the Catholic confession, the more I understand that is falls into exactly the same category, the category of works and politics and advantage of the hierarchy over the individual. Now, how are you justified? What is the means? The means is repentance. That's how you are justified. And you repent to God the Father, and you are justified to Him through the sacrifice and the resurrection of Christ. Nothing else can justify you. Whether you wear a hat or not, if you're a woman. Okay. Now, God does say something about long hair, and that is in the Bible. One of these days, I warn all you women, I'm going to give an in-depth sermon on that. So enough said. But it is still there. That's not to justify you. That is so that because by creation, God has determined that that is so. Okay? Now, you cannot be justified by any of the means of Catholicism, by confession, because if you confess to a man, you haven't confessed to God. By Hinduism, that you lived a bad life, so now you're going to come back as a flea. By Buddhism, that you sit there in your works of justification and devoid your mind of thinking to where there is nothing left in your mind, and as Deepak Chopra says, listen to the silence, which is a contradiction in itself. I mean, think about it. See? And that through all of these works, the sum total of all of those things in all of these religions is to fulfill Genesis 3 and Satan's message to Adam and Eve. You shall become gods. Now, that's pretty strong. But that's just the way that it is. And when Dolores and I are talking, she tells me, when a fact is true, and I acknowledge it, she says, well, that's the way the mop flop, the jelly rolls, the cookie crumbles. See? And we can put it this way, that's the way the Word of God is. See? And another thing we need to understand concerning understanding the scriptures. If you are new to studying the Bible, the first place to go to is Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And then go to the seven general epistles. And then read the major parts of the Old Testament. And then come and tackle Romans, and then come and tackle Galatians, and then come and tackle Hebrews. You do not understand the scriptures by going to the difficult ones when you know nothing. And that's the problem with Protestantism. That's the first place they go and dump it on someone new and say, see, you have liberty in Christ. You don't have to be circumcised. One, those who keep the Sabbath do not demand circumcision. Two, we believe in keeping the holy days. Three, we believe that we are justified by faith through the sacrifice of Christ alone because he has given us this freedom. But as we'll see here again just a little bit concerning keeping the commandments of God. Okay. Again, I'm testifying to everyone who is being circumcised that you are a debtor to do the whole law. Now, that's concerning Judaism and its various pagan forms of it. Okay? Now, if you do the same thing in any other religion, you're a duty to do everything in that religion in the way that they say, and you have nothing in the end because you've rejected Christ. So you can do everything that they say, and you haven't gotten one scintilla closer to God. Not one. God is not concerned with that kind of thing. Let's go to Isaiah 66. And in my experience in the church, the longer that I live and the more that I see these things, and now with a little gray hair, I can say the longer I live. Okay. And I will be 67 in July. The more that I see that this is absolutely true in everything. Now, verse 1, Isaiah 66. Thus says the Lord, the heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you will build to me? Or where is the religion that you will create in my name? See, because if you create a religion in the name of God, it is your religion, not God's, because God didn't tell you so. See? And that's where all false doctrine comes from. And all of these doctrines, these Protestants don't know it, but they've been so infiltrated, and the Seventh-day Adventists too, by the way, And they are not coming in there to tell you, come back to the Catholic Church. They could care less about people coming back to the Catholic Church out of the Protestants and the Seventh-day Adventists, because what they want to do is destroy them. And the best way you destroy them is with false doctrine. And we can probably go back, if we knew the truth on these things, and see where the Jesuit infiltrators and the Catholic infiltrators, and I'm reading a book, The Vatican Assassins, they even did with the pilgrims. They had their agents with the pilgrims. That all those change of doctrines have their source right with the agents of Satan. Combined between that and the Jews, they thoroughly and successfully subverted, took down, and destroyed the worldwide Church of God. And right here in Hollister, there's a long-time Seventh-day Adventist couple that I know, and they were really nice, really sweet. We sent our children to the Seventh-day Adventist school because we didn't want to send them to the public school. As long as we could afford to, that worked out fine. And they went to their summer camps. And I tell you what, they put to shame the summer camps of Worldwide Church of God. Worldwide Church of God summer camps are nothing but a political mishmash of unbelievable. But anyway, they have camps that they have bought through the years, and they actually have close here, three camps up in the Sierras, okay? And they have what they would call their pathfinders. Well, Rochelle and Stephen and David and Jonathan, they all belong to the pathfinders, and they all went up there to the summer camp. As a matter of fact, when we took Stephen up for summer camp, Rochelle came along for the ride, and she got there and she says, I want to stay at 5. See, well, you have to be 6. She was very persuasive. She stayed. And for 3 weeks. Okay. Now, the reason I'm bringing this up, because in their own way, God will bless all Sabbath keepers for keeping the Sabbath in spirit and in truth to the best of their knowledge. But most of the other false doctrines that have come into the Seventh-day Adventist Church have come from Catholic infiltrators. And now they have this local church so confused that these people resigned. They're an older couple. And they have done exactly what the infiltrators want him to do. Give up everything. And he told his son. Now his son is over there where I get my water therapy. That he's thrown everything out. And he really enjoyed his ham dinner. Now you see, that's what all these false doctrines eventually lead to. Now, I got another call from someone else who said that he talked to someone down in San Bernardino that the Worldwide Church of God says that the Old Testament is no longer valid. We don't need to follow anything in it. See. Well, we need to understand that the Old Testament is a foundation for the New. So all the physical things that people come along and add to, they are gimmicks and carnal tricks that you do not need to love God and obey Him. That's what Galatians is all about. You need the kind of faith and you need the kind of love that comes from God's Spirit. And that is what is pleasing to Him. So here's what God says about all those physical things. Now let's read it here. And let's understand this is New Testament doctrine in the Old Testament. Verse 1, thus says the Lord, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you will build to me? You think about that. What great thing can you do for God? We thought, great thing we can do for God is send out millions of Plain Truth magazines, be on thousands of radio stations, build colleges, build empires. And so does the Catholic Church. And so do the Protestants. And so do the Muslims. And so do the Hindus and the Buddhists. What are you going to do for God? Are you going to make something for him? Well, you have to make it out of what he's created. Okay? So what great thing is that? God can create physical things so beautiful and wonderful and spectacular that it will pale into insignificance anything that we can do as far as what we can build or make or write or say or do of ourselves. See? Now the thing is, he has made us for his purpose. But men want to make God for their purpose. And it's just all the opposite, see? So he says, where's the place of my rest? For all these things has my hand made, and those things have been, says the Lord. But to this one will I look. This is what God is interested in. And this is what we're talking about in Galatians, the fifth chapter. You're justified by repentance. You're justified by faith. You're justified by getting on your knees before God the Father and do just like the publican and say, oh, God, save me. I am a sinner. Okay? But to this one will I look, even to him that is of a poor and contrite spirit and trembles at my word, not at religious doctrine. You understand the difference? You see? It has to be the Word of God, rightly divided, rightly put together, rightly understood. See, and that doesn't come because some expert says so. It comes from the Word of God. And the way you understand the Word of God is you go to God and say, God, help me to understand your Word. God, you have inspired it to be written. You have preserved it. You have given it here. Help me to do even as Christ, that he did nothing of his own. I mean, think on that. If there's any one human being on the earth who could have done anything he wanted to and would have been justified in doing so, would have been Jesus Christ, but he did not. So we need to think of that in relationship to all the things we look around. We need to understand false doctrine comes from Satan. And he tries to make it look real good, tries to make it look real, oh, that's wonderful. See. Now here, notice. Paul says, he says, I am testifying to every man who is being justified or being circumcised that you are a debtor to the whole law. He says the sentence before, if you're circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing. You have, verse 4 now, you've been deprived from any spiritual effect from Christ. Whosoever you are who are being justified by means of law, you have fallen from grace. Now let's see the fall from grace. Right here, Isaiah 66 and verse 3. See, he shows what right standing with God is through repentance in verse 2. To this one will I look. He who is a poor and of a contrite heart and trembles at my word. That's to whom God looks to. See? Not some great thing, not some great missionary thing, not some great work. See? Now, If you go to physical things to justify yourself rather than repentance, if you go to tradition to make you in right standing with God rather than repentance, if you go to sacrifices rather than to God through repentance, if you go to circumcision rather than God through repentance, then verse 3 applies. He that kills an ox. Now, did God command sacrifices? Yes. Is that part of the law? Yes. But what if you are not repentant? What if you do it as a ritual so that you can show God how good you are? As if he slew a man. You see that? He that sacrifices a lamb as if he cut off a dog's neck. He that offers an oblation as if he offered swine's blood. He that burns incense as if he blessed an idol. They have chosen their own ways, and that is the key. See, you haven't chosen God's way. That's why. Now hold your place here and let's go to John 5. John 5, because this becomes very important for us to understand. And what I want you to do, I want you to think about all of the things that you have experienced in the way of seeing men doing their own ways and claiming it's the will of God. I want you to think about all those things. And then I want you to read this. Verse 19. Then answered Jesus and said to them, "Verily, verily, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do. For whatsoever he does, these also does the Son likewise." Now, as the Son of God, as the one who was God in the flesh, if he would have done anything on his own as a human being, or done anything that other human beings have invented in the way of religion, he would have sinned. Do you understand that? The reason being is that he would not be holding to the standard of God. He would lower himself to the standard of sinful men who are following their own ways and not the ways of God, though they do it in the name of God. Now, the next time you see anything concerning the Pope, watch. Because he's had his reward. He has had his reward. He has been seen. He has accomplished nothing spiritually. He has no contact with God whatsoever, except as the head of the Catholic Church to fulfill his will. He may have to intervene from time to time directly like he did with Balaam. But that would be it. Now, to fulfill his will to carry out the evil of Babylon the Great, because that is the will of God. And the reason that it is the will of God is because if men want it, God is going to give it to them. You know that? See, God works the opposite sometimes the way that we think. Some people think, well, why didn't God prevent this or prevent that or prevent the other thing? Well, he didn't, because men want it that way. And that's a result of wanting it their way and not God. It's like, who was I talking to? No, I was talking to a woman at Queen Burwell's Memorial, and she said, well, she says, God looks at the heart. And I said, yes, God looks at the heart. But most people don't understand what their heart is. That's the big problem. See? Now, notice what Jesus said here, verse 30. I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. And that's where we all need to be. That we are seeking and doing the will of the Father. See? Now let's look at something else that people have done in religion. Let's come to Matthew 7. Okay? And one of the very first things that Jesus said was he knew that there would be people taking his name. Didn't he say, take heed that no one deceive you? How many times has Jesus said, take heed no one deceive you? How do they deceive people? And we've seen people deceived, haven't we? And we have seen things true to what Paul says here. Not only circumcision, but if you follow a religion, Christ will profit you nothing. And we've seen them come in and take away what they had. I mean, I was just absolutely flabbergasted that people who sat for years and heard about the commandments of God for years and years and years and years and years, now believe the lie that the Old Testament is no longer valid for us today. Can Satan take it away? Yes. Will God let him take it away? Yes. Says there in Matthew 13, Satan will come and steal that which is sown in your heart. See? Now, Matthew 7. He warns the false prophets, beginning right up here in verse 12. We won't go through all of it. But he tells us that the way we are to enter is the straight and the narrow gate. Because broad is the way and wide is the gate that leads to destruction. And the majority of people are going there. That's where they're going. Oh, God knows my heart. But if you're not repentant, he knows your heart is evil. Okay? Now, verse 21. After he says, you'll know them by their fruits. Not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that is doing the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Look, I was a great famous preacher out here. Why, I brought million to Christ. And another one will say, Lord, we build buildings. And the Pope will say, look at this great temple, St. Peter's Basilica. And look at all this great art that Michelangelo did for us. And the Mayans and Egyptians will say, look at the pyramids we built for you, and the mummies that we made, and the pictures that we drew. And the Buddhist will say, look at our temples covered with gold. And we took a vow of poverty so that we would be righteous. And in your name have we not cast out demons, in your name done many wonderful works? Yes, the Dalai Lama had his tour right here in the Bay Area this week. And everyone was, See, let me tell you something. To have compassion with other people, which God expects all of us to have, to have understanding of people, which God expects us to have, without the true God and Christ is idolatry. Because you're just looking to do it of yourself and for this big fat Buddha. And I never will forget when they had this interview of the Dalai Lama, and the reporter asked him, and he says, well, I'll have to ask my boss. And here's this little fat Buddha sitting right in front of him, to whom he prays to 6 hours a day. And it's going only to the throne of Satan, not to God. Here's the key, verse 23. Then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity or lawlessness. You reject the laws and commandments of God. See? The laws and commandments of God are the primary thing to start with. Okay? Now then, I went through the whole thing on refuting Sunday keeping number 12, the administration of death. So you go back and you get that tape and you listen to it in relationship to this one, because that will explain to you why we have to keep the commandments of God and yet still have faith. Because in order to keep the spiritual intent of the laws and commandments of God, it takes the Spirit of God and faith. As I said before, it takes faith to keep the Sabbath. It doesn't take any faith to keep Sunday. They have no faith. They're faithless because they keep Sunday. They may believe they have faith. They do in a way. They have faith to reject the commandment of God and faith to sin, which is a false faith. They don't have faith in God. It takes faith to keep the holy days. It takes faith to tithe. It takes faith to overcome your human nature. It takes faith to pray. It takes faith to study. Otherwise, it's just an exercise into a physical thing. And it profits you nothing. Well, let's come back here to Isaiah 66. And verse 3 again. Yea, they have chosen their own ways. Whatever way it may be. And their soul delights in their abominations. All of them. Now, here's the way that God brings his judgment. Number one, understand, God lets the wicked prosper. He lets them prosper. Not as a blessing to them, but to see if they're going to learn anything. And then those that really defy God, like Job, and like the Pharaoh, God lets them really get up real high. He'll give them warnings all along, but he has something great in store for them. And I think we have not comprehended the return of Christ in the relationship to that. That how far God is going to let this whole Babylonian, the great system, just really rise and rise and rise. Because he's going to destroy it forever, you see. Okay. Verse 4, I will choose their delusions. They're always caught in their own schemes. I will bring their fears upon them. Now, if you've never seen the movie Godfather 3, watch it from this point of view. And it shows the involvement of the Catholic Church in a very profound way. And so that's the way it is. I will choose their delusions and bring their fears upon them. Now let's hold your place here and let's go to Jeremiah 6. You fear war? It's coming. What's the best way to bring your fears upon you? Prosper you so much that you have so much that you're fearful of losing it. See? Try it. Verse 13, Jeremiah 6. From the least of them, even to the greatest of them, everyone is given to covetousness. They want more and more and more and more and more. From the prophet, even unto the priest, everyone deals falsely. They have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people, slightly saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Now, what I want you to understand, that's happening today. Jeremiah 6, verse 14 now. That's happening today. Okay. Were they ashamed when they committed abomination? Any abomination you want to name? And a lot of the scientific technological advancement that we have today are an abomination before God. Most notably, the cloning of human beings. And God always gives them a warning, doesn't he? Always gives them a warning. Yes, he does. Nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore they shall fall among them that fall. At the time that I visit, they shall be cast down, says the Lord. So sure enough, God is going to visit. Thus says the Lord, stand you in the way and see and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and you shall find rest for your souls. That is the true way of God. But they say, we will not walk therein. Also I set watchmen over you, saying, listen to the sound of the trumpet, wake up. But they said, we will not listen. Now notice God's judgment. Therefore hear ye nations. Now this is not just for the Jews, but this is for the nations. And know, O congregation, what is among them. That's for those of the church of God who are among the nations. Hear, O earth. Now that's really getting to be something when God says, hear, O earth. Behold, I will bring evil upon this people, even the fruit of their thoughts. Now, I want you to think of it as a worldwide thing. As a whole. And then think of it as Israel as a subdivision of the whole. That is the 10 tribes of Israel, see. I will bring evil upon this people, even the fruit of their thoughts. So all you have to do is watch television and you know what's going to happen. Because television is a fruit of their thoughts and that's what's going to occur. What is the fruit of their thoughts? All the devastation and killing and demonism and Satanism, everything that you see reflected there. God's judgment is coming. Because they have not hearkened unto my words, nor to my law, but rejected it. To what purpose do you there come to me from Sheba? Bring incense from Sheba and sweet cane from a far country. And your burnt offerings are not acceptable, your sacrifices, nor are your sacrifices sweet to me. See, because they're doing their own way. See, that all fits into the thing of circumcision and religion, and yet the very ones that condemn the Sabbath and holy days and accuse us of enforcing circumcision are the very ones who are practicing those things, not circumcision necessarily, but the physical things which are equivalent to it, doing their own ways and making Christ of none effect. Like one Protestant minister said, that's the one who finally discovered that, you know, altar calls never worked. 95% of those he had come to the altar all went back into the world. And he finally discovered that you have to be baptized and you make a covenant with God. So at least he got that point right. But I heard him say on the tape, out of his own mouth, altar calls are worthless. See, but yet it's the great works. Billy Graham, do you hear? Agent for the Pope, Billy Graham, do you hear? That's why they inspired him to do it, to have multiple false conversions so that the people would give up on God and Christ. Do you understand that that's why these things were done? The best way to make people give up on God is to have them follow false doctrine and become disillusioned. Or supposed to be converted but never change. Now, God is going to bring it all about. Now let's come back here to Galatians 5. Haven't even gotten through the review yet, but we'll get there. Whosoever you are, verse 4, who are being justified by means of law. You've fallen from grace. Can you be justified by Sabbath keeping? Nope. But God commands it, doesn't he? If you love him, keep my commandments. We'll see that. See? We do not look to what we do in Sabbath keeping for justification. We look to Christ. But with his faith, we have the faith to keep the Sabbath and the holy days because God commanded it, and that is his way, which he has chosen for us. That he calls us, we walk in his way. He gives us his spirit, we follow where the spirit leads us. Okay? Now verse 5. For we through the spirit are waiting for the hope of the righteousness by faith, which then, what is the end of the righteousness by faith? Eternal life by the resurrection from the dead. That's what it is. Because in Christ Jesus neither circumcision is of any forth nor uncircumcision, rather it is the inner working of faith through love. We covered that last time, the two kinds of faith. You believe because God says so, and you act upon the command of God because he says so, and have the faith to follow through to do it. Okay? But it's faith through love. Now we're going to see love here several times, and led by the Spirit and walked by the Spirit as we go through this. You were running well, who hindered you to not obey the truth? This persuasion is not coming from him who calls you. So understand, all of these things of religion are not coming from Christ but men. And a little leaven leavens the whole lump, and we have seen it. Not only does it leaven the whole lump, but when the whole lump is leavened, God smashes it and destroys it into crumbs, and there is nothing left. Now, I said cynically about 10 years ago that unless Worldwide Church of God repented, it would just be a footnote in history. And 10 years later, it's almost only a footnote in history. Everything else is gone, and it's soon to be a footnote in history. And you wait. They will change the name.